The Tennessee trial against Meta is one of the most important tech legal proceedings underway right now. State prosecutors opened by showing jurors internal company communications in which a Meta employee described Instagram as a drug and called employees basically pushers. Those are not hacked documents. Those are internal Slack messages and emails that Meta's own employees wrote. The product liability framing of the suit is distinct from earlier cases. Rather than arguing Meta negligently moderated content, Tennessee is arguing that Instagram itself was designed defectively, that the recommendation algorithm, the notification system, the engagement loops are inherently harmful to adolescent users.
The Discord and Meta federal suit making the same defective product argument is a coordinated legal strategy. The plaintiff's lawyers are deliberately drawing an analogy to the tobacco litigation of the 1990s, where the industry argued for decades that cigarettes were not harmful, while internal documents showed they knew otherwise. If the courts accept the product liability framing, it opens Meta and Discord to a category of damages and a category of regulatory intervention that Section 230 immunity does not protect against. Section 230 shields platforms from liability for user-generated content. It does not shield them from liability for their own product design choices.
Meta's separate problem, running 7600A AI-generated Nudify advertisements through a Chinese advertising partner, is a content moderation failure of a specific kind. These aren't user-generated posts. They're paid advertisements that Meta's systems accepted and ran. The Chinese partner connection raises questions about whether the ads originated in a jurisdiction that has different content standards and whether Meta's ad review systems have adequate oversight of international advertising partners.
The Musk and Jose Andres feud is lighter fare, but it has a business dimension. Andres, the chef and humanitarian aid founder, has been publicly critical of Musk's statements about foreign aid. Musk responding by calling Andres an asshole in what appears to be fallout from his Economist interview has generated its own news cycle. The Economist interview itself was notable for some comments about immigration and economic policy that drew bipartisan pushback. Musk's public persona continues to carry reputational risks for the companies he leads, and with X Money now live and SpaceX shares down 51%, the timing of a public name-calling incident is less than ideal.
Gwen Walz's endorsement of Angie Craig over her husband's lieutenant governor in the Minnesota Senate primary is a genuinely remarkable political moment. The governor's spouse publicly breaking with the lieutenant governor, essentially saying, "We need someone who can win statewide," is a rupture within the Democratic Party's Minnesota coalition at a critical moment before the August 11th primary. It suggests deep concerns about Peggy Flanagan's electability, and it puts Tim Walz in the uncomfortable position of watching his own household navigate a public intra-party split.
JetBlue's overhaul of its fare system and the launch of a Blue First domestic first class is a sign of the post-pandemic aviation market maturing. JetBlue built its brand on an egalitarian cabin philosophy. Everyone gets a TV, nobody gets a dramatically better seat. Abandoning that for a premium domestic product reflects the revenue data. Airlines that have invested in premium cabins have seen meaningfully higher yields per seat. JetBlue's financials have been strained, and the pivot to premium is a strategic bet that the brand can support the upgrade without alienating its core customer base.
Now to the "what if we're wrong" question that we previewed at the top of the show. The most confident claim circulating in the business press right now, including in that Morgan Stanley report, is that AI is measurably boosting corporate profits and that enterprises deploying AI are seeing real productivity gains. That is the consensus view, and the Morgan Stanley data seems to support it. But let's pull on the threads.
The Adaptivist survey data is the strongest challenge to that consensus. 38% of workers would remove generative AI entirely from their workflows. Nearly half say verification overhead exceeds time saved. If you take those numbers seriously, it suggests a possible scenario where the Morgan Stanley profit data is real, but the causal story is wrong. What if the companies showing AI-driven profit improvements aren't improving because their workers are more productive, but because they've reduced headcount? And the AI is covering the gap badly enough that it functions, but the people still employed are working harder to compensate.
That would mean the AI productivity story is actually a labor substitution story wearing a productivity costume. The profits are real, but they're coming from labor cost reduction, not output improvement. And if that's true, the long-term picture looks different because labor substitution has a ceiling. Customer-facing quality eventually deteriorates when too much is automated too fast. And the verification burden that remaining workers bear creates its own burnout and attrition problem.
What would we need to see to know if we're wrong about the Morgan Stanley consensus? A few specific things. One, if customer satisfaction scores at companies that have aggressively deployed AI start declining while profit margins stay up, that's the labor substitution signal. Two, if AI-intensive companies start seeing elevated turnover among their highest-skilled employees, the people best positioned to spot AI errors, that's the verification burden becoming unsustainable. Three, if we get two or three quarters of Morgan Stanley-style profit data followed by a quarter where error rates, recalls, or customer complaints spike, that's the quality degradation signal.
The investment implication is real. If you're betting on AI companies because enterprises are buying AI and profits are going up, check whether those profits survive the next customer satisfaction measurement cycle. The signal to watch is net promoter scores at the 20 largest enterprise AI deployers, tracked over the next two quarters.